Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Always wanted to hear the real deal when it comes to fitness, health, nutrition, and physical well-being? This is Dave's Power Half Hour, hosted by Tasha McKeon.
What's cracking? What's really good?
They don't pull any punches. You'll only get the truth about how you get healthier mentally, physically, and emotionally. And now, here's Tasha McKeon and Big Dave.
That's right, baby. Let's get this thing started. Your girl Tasha McKeon and Big Dave's in the building.
What up? What up?
All right, so this is the deal, Dave. Last weekend, I was bored because you know I'm still healing from this whole back situation, right?
Yep.
So I went on Instagram and I was like, if you can ask a professional, a fun professional, any freaking question out there, what question would you ask? And we had like, oh my God, D, we have so many different questions. People were just posting underneath our meme. But at the end of the day, pretty much it all came down to how can someone start and stick to their fitness program or routine without giving up? Now, I know that's a broad question, especially for a professional like you. So if this, let's use me. If I'm beginning, because you know it's really, really hard to even gear up. Like in your head, you know you want to go, but then shit comes up in your life. You're like, the kids need this. I can't do that,
right,
or whatever. So how can someone start and stick to a program and be dedicated and not slack off?
Biggest thing being that you want to come up with something that's going to work individualized for you and you only.
Yeah.
Looking at magazines, going on YouTube, going on Instagram, social media, getting ideas from some fitness professionals, stuff like that is fine, but it also has to cater and be specifically catered to what you want to do and the goals and results you want.
That's true.
And that goes into the next thing of the level of basically how advanced are you? Are you just starting out? Are you kind of middle of the road? Or are you kind of like someone that looking to compete or, you know, do some sort of competition, stuff like that? So I think it's a goal setting issue being first and foremost. Second, I think it's also making sure you're comfortable in the environment that you go to, what gym you pick, what time you go, making sure
that's
that if you have kids like yourself, you know, the kids are starting school, making sure that basically you have everything taken care of before you get to the gym. That way, if you're in the gym, nothing can kind of pull you away for that 45 minutes to an hour that you're in there. And kind of just really the goal setting thing. I think the goal setting thing is going to be first and foremost of getting you to that point. And then thereafter that, bringing in the nutrition, bringing in some supplementation, you know, putting some stipulations on what you want to look like weight-wise, whether you want to gain weight, lose weight, tighten up certain body parts, you know, putting a swimsuit on that you maybe haven't fit in before.
Child, I look like a stuffed burrito
you
when I
it,
did
right.
it for you.
So I think it all goes really along the line of goal setting, number one.
Okay.
And then goal anything setting thereafter is really making sure that you're progressing and staying on that goal.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where someone like myself would come in, being a trainer, you know, somewhat of a motivator. We want to make sure that when we're with a client like yourself and or, you know, other people that we're giving you not false expectations.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing too. That would be probably number two, because the expectation being something that you can really achieve and not let yourself down by not getting there.
Yeah.
So if I say, well, in 1 month I'm gonna lose 10 pounds, is that achievable? To some people, yes it is.
Yeah.
But to the majority it probably is not. And it's not realistic.
Yeah.
And therefore, unfortunately, we have to say women more so than men, because women also have a harder time losing weight than
we
men.
We do, and it's especially not fair that you guys lose weight faster than us.
Stress, you know, every little thing, hormone of course being the number one, with stress that carries over with number two.
Yeah.
That all factors into play. So I think that, you know, getting someone that can really help you goal orientate Yeah. Then staying consistent, mixing it up would probably be number three, four, and making it fun and enjoyable that it's not monotonous.
I think making it fun is a big deal.
It's huge because the monotonous aspect even goes with us. You know, I've been doing this almost 25 years.
Yep.
And, you know, I talk to other peers that are in the industry and we have the same qualms and quirks that you guys do.
Mm-hmm.
And just because we may be professional or we may do this as a living or as our profession doesn't mean that we get bored too. And we don't want to go and we don't want to do cardio.
You're
don't want to
human, just like us.
Exactly.
But you just don't show it.
No, we don't show it because basically it's one of those things like, mm-hmm. hey, we have to go. This is what we do for a living. We have an expectation to put up. And trust me, we have those days that we don't want to get out of bed. We don't want to go. We are just the same. It's just a question of how bad do you want it? Making sure those goals are orientated and setting that and moving forward with it.
Yeah, see, for me, I think when I first started, in my head, I knew I was ready to go. And I'll tell you, like, social media is such a shit thing because it'll make you feel like, you'll look at people and be like, I want to look like that in 30 days. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then, but realistically.
It's not realistic.
Right. Realistically thinking, for me, it's like, I just got to get in the gym and I just got to stay dedicated. And for me, I have to write down goals on a daily. At first, I used to depend on other people. But then when they started to slack, I realized I would slack. And that's like the biggest thing. It's like, how the hell do you get in? Do you stay focused? Okay, so now we know, okay, set a goal. Then we got to make sure that we're progressing. Try to find a trainer if you could afford it.
Right. And that's a very, very good point is, you know, most trainers out there, unfortunately, mm-hmm. and I'm not calling anybody out in any way, shape, or form, but a lot of trainers feel that their worth is higher than really what it should be.
Yeah.
You got to remember, we're personal trainers. Personal being the front word of that whole situation.
That's a big word.
That being said, it's got to be personable. It's got to be a really good match. And, you know, people are willing to pay for your services, but you got to make it fun. It's like, if I'm not willing to pay for my own services, what the hell do I think someone's going to pay for my services?
Exactly.
Then? So if I don't think that I can provide something good for a client, then what the hell am I doing this as a profession for?
Especially with a gym. Like, you can literally sit in bed and be like, you know what? I just want to stay in bed an extra 30 minutes. But when you have a trainer that makes you feel alive when you walk in a gym, like, you walk in a gym with Dave, he's like, what the hell, you're late, get your ass back here.
And it's got to be the gym too. The gym's got to be fun. It's got to be, it's got to be upbeat. It's got to have great equipment. It's got to have great music. And, you know, granted, if it's not a good vibe, then it's going to bring you down. And then the trainer's not doing his job. So you're destined to fail before you even start.
So would it be safe to say not to have high expectations and just to go and stay consistent?
100%. But again, you hit the nail on the head in the sense of, the people that follow the social media every day in and day out, you got to stay off that because let's be real, 90% of the people that are on social media, especially a lot of these fitness personalities and stuff like that and these bloggers, don't think they're not airbrushed or not touched up.
Thank you for saying that.
And we all don't look like that 24/7, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Okay, there are things in life that get in the way just like every normal day person, if not worse for us because that expectation is set so high for us that don't think that it's not touched up and airbrushed and Photoshopped. It is. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, all these people follow these people with this expectation of I can look like that. You can't look like that.
Yeah.
Because if it could, then you would. And everybody would look like we do.
Yeah.
And that's not the case.
Perfect.
That's not the case. There's a small percentage that look like we do. Of course, hormones come into play. Genetics come into play. Supplements, diet, training, all of it comes into play.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is just staying in your lane, doing what you're supposed to do, having fun doing
it. Exactly.
And don't let anything get in the way of it.
And stop comparing yourself to other people.
Oh, yes, exactly. That's
and I'm guilty of that. When I first started my journey, I lost like 119 pounds. And in the beginning, I was like, I want to look like Massey. I want to look like, you know, Coco. I want to look like so-and-so. At the end of the day, you have to shut all that down and just really stay consistent. And when you start seeing your clothes lay different, that's like the best feeling in the world.
Well, it's good to have someone that you emulate and you respect you really want to look like as a goal.
Yeah.
But
that's realistic.
If you don't hit that expectation, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. And you know, it doesn't shut the whole thing down.
That's true.
And I think that's where a lot of people falter is that just because they may not look like the personality that they're trying to emulate.
Exactly.
Then they're like, well, what the hell am I doing this for? This is stupid. I can't get there, so I'm just going to quit.
No.
That's dumb.
It's so easy to give up.
Exactly. And it's a lot harder to stay motivated and consistent than it is just to say, the hell with it. I'm not going to look like that. I know I'm not going to look like that. So I'm just not going to do it anymore.
That's
a defeatist attitude. And unfortunately, the social media aspect does bring that into play.
It's stressful.
But if you can use the social media as a positive platform, looking at what these people do, maybe following their diets, maybe taking little tidbits from each one.
That's smart.
And then putting it together,
that's so smart.
Real world atmosphere situations and conditions.
Yeah.
Because let's be real, majority of these people that are posting stuff like that don't live in the real world.
No.
You know what I'm saying? This is what they do all day in, day in and day out. They don't have 8-to-5 jobs. They don't have kids. They don't have money issues. They don't have everyday life problems that get in the way of them going to the gym for 3 hours.
All day.
And that does have a play on it. So that being said, you're setting yourself up for failure right before you even start.
Yeah.
So take little things from your people that you emulate on social media, utilize it to your advantage to motivate yourself, and then put it away.
And make that's it fit for you.
Right. Individualized for you.
Because when you stress over what other people, like for me, I wind up doing, you know, I'm going to grab this, this, and this, and this is how I would put my caption so that I can, when I reach my goal, I can help to motivate, you know, people like that. I don't know. I just, growing up for me, looking at magazines, I used to be like, oh my God, I want to look like that person. But I will tell you, I do appreciate when women that are in fitness show the unedited version.
Right.
Stretch
marks. Before and after.
Oh my God, you're like
that's
me.
Right. I can emulate, I can respect that because that's what I look like. And when I take my clothes off and look in the mirror, I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
But that's okay. That's what individualizes us as a whole. So therefore, you have to focus on yourself, because knowing that someone else is in the same exact situation gives you that motivation, gets you that goal orientating that we're trying to do to keep you motivated to stay focused in the gym.
So let me ask you, D, when you first started training, did you ever hit a bump where you were just like, oh, I just don't feel like today?
Oh my
like
God,
when you first started, but what was the thing that kept you going? Was it your results? Was it that natural thing in you that gives you that energy boost? Like, what was it for you?
I think the thing for me personally, and this is me only, is I've always been a competitive person.
Yeah.
And I've always been athletic. I was very small when I started in this whole industry, in this game.
It's hard to believe.
I was 140 pounds when I graduated in school.
Yeah.
Then I started playing football. I got into the gym and I really enjoyed it. But I was very, very dry and wet behind the ears as well. Uh-huh. I didn't know what the hell I was doing in any way, shape, or form.
Uh-huh.
You know, back in the day when I was in school, way long ago, basically what you know, you went in the gym and kind of did what you did, and the football coaches really didn't guide you much, and especially in the weight room. Now, you know, they got all these programs for these kids and stuff like that, so it's so readily available. For me, I kind of had to learn on my own, and I was taken under the wings of some power lifters that I met in the gym, and they kind of saw potential with me. But let me tell you something. The first time I went to the squat rack, I put weight on the bar and thought I was hot stuff, and I fell backwards, and the bar fell off me, and I was an embarrassment. I ran out of the gym, and I didn't go back for like 2 weeks because I was like, oh, hell no. I'm like, I look like a schmuck in this place, and I look stupid. And, you know, and then I finally went back in, and I kind of like put my tail between my legs, and like hopefully no one recognizes who I am, the dumbass that dropped the bar on himself. And I learned by example. And you know, I think that's the biggest thing, is that I didn't really have anybody specific that showed me, but it was just basically just going consistently, starting to see the changes, starting to research, doing my diligence, looking at magazines. Back then, it really wasn't the internet. It was all magazines. It was Muscle and Fitness and Flex and, you know, Muscle Media.
Right.
And, you know, some of the listeners from back in the day, you remember these magazines? Bill Phillips from EAS used to be Golden up at the facility. I mean, these guys we were all emulating these people.
Yeah.
And so we followed them and we watched what they did, and then we would do it, and it worked.
Yeah.
But now there's
so your
just,
fire brought
right,
you back.
Exactly. Yeah. And once you started seeing the gains, your shirt started getting tighter and the scale started going up.
Baby.
Then you started eating all the eggs and the chicken, and you know, you started thinking you were hot stuff because you were carrying this big water jug around and your food with you. And you know, it just kind of it goes into basically a life example is it with bodybuilding and working out and training, not just bodybuilding. I'm just talking
just
about fitness
out.
As a whole.
Right.
It puts a lot of things in perspective, in the sense of it's goal orientating, staying motivated, staying consistent,
patient,
just like with life.
And patient.
It's just like with life.
Patient.
If you can go to the gym every day and you can eat 5 to 6 meals a day and you can take supplements that you're supposed to take on a daily basis, hour to hour, then you won't fail in life if you follow those goals that are in fitness and what
and
we do
consistent.
In this industry and in life.
Yeah.
It's the same.
That's it.
You know, you get up, you go to work every day, you try and do the best thing and try and do the best work you can.
Yep.
You try and take care of your kids if you have kids.
Yep.
You try and stay positive. positive. It's the same thing with the gym.
Every day.
Every day.
You're just trying to be better than yesterday.
Every day.
That's it. All right. So now we're going to do the Fast Five with Big D. Five quick questions. Give us your best answer, because when we put up the meme last week, these were some of the questions that were in there. And I was like, these are good. I got to get Dave. Okay. So the first one is, how can someone conquer their food craving? Go.
Food cravings are interesting because everybody has different ones.
Dude.
And if you're pregnant, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you're a husband of a pregnant woman, you definitely know what I'm talking about. But in general, for people that have cravings, moderate. Have a little bit. If you have a craving for ice cream, instead of having the carton, sit down with a Dixie cup or a small little spoonful just to satisfy that craving. Put it away, move on. Period. That's it.
So it's safe to say once your tongue gets a taste, it's
That's
over.
Right.
You don't
That's
have
right.
to overdo
That's
it.
Exactly it. That's why you see majority of these people, they'll take a swig of Coke, they'll take a swig of Gatorade, they'll take a swig of something, spit it out. They just want to taste it.
Yeah, just to satisfy
it. To a lot of people, that's enough.
That is.
But like if you crave M&Ms, for example, and everybody knows, just like a chip, you can't eat just one.
Oh,
okay. So
that
being said, you have a handful. Give yourself that little bit.
Yeah.
And give yourself that goal and give yourself that accreditation that, hey, I've been working hard. I'm going to have a little bit in moderation. Anything in moderation is fine.
A small bit of satisfaction. Number two, should you ever cut carbs out to lose weight?
Great question. That's a really good question. It's a vague answer because
people really believe that, D.
And it's not unbelievable, but I'm going to go with it's an individualized situation.
So it has to be different
for every
person. It
does, because some people can handle a very, very low or no carb diet, whereas some people, that they have low blood sugar issues, medical conditions, hormone, you know, their hormones are sporadic in and out from thyroid issues. It really does come down to individualized because, again, everybody is so different the way they metabolize carbohydrates.
Right.
Women, of course, metabolize carbohydrates way more than men.
Oh, man.
So I would say yes and no. Yes, in the sense, if you're careful with it and moderate it and really monitor it, yes. If you're all over the chart and you can't stay consistent with it, don't follow it.
Don't follow it. All right. Number three, is it true? This is my question. Is it true that eating after 8 o'clock can make you put on weight?
Yes, 100%. Metabolism.
Seriously?
Metabolism always slows down after 5 o'clock for women and usually after 6 or 7 for men. So if you're trying to lose weight, your last meal of the day for a woman should be high protein.
Yeah.
And empty calories being vegetables.
Yeah.
For men, high protein, moderate fat, low carb, period, that's it.
Okay, so what if I feel like eating some celery and carrots at 9 o'clock? That's okay?
You can have that.
But
in moderation.
Like chips and stuff.
Moderation.
Really? Even with vegetables, moderation?
Moderation, because again, your body's still going to have to digest those calories. Now, granted, they're empty calories, so they're not going to be like chips or like a high glycemic meal of some sort.
Right.
But you still have to metabolize that. So it is not bad to have a meal before bed. It's just consistency on what that meal is.
This is off the record, but not off the record, but we're still going to ask it anyway. But really, really quick. I know a friend of mine who eats dinner every night at 8 and is in bed knocked out by 9:30. Is that okay? Is that enough time for your body to digest that? I know it's not one of our top five, but
it's an individualized thing, but it's a great question because most people do eat late because of everyday life.
Their schedules,
But here's the kicker with that. And this is very important for people to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather see someone eat late than not eat at all.
Mm.
Because if you don't eat, then the metabolism starts to slow down and basically looks for calories to store because it doesn't know when it's going to eat again. So if you have that meal at 8:30 or 9 and you go to bed at 10, you got to be a little bit careful on what you pick for that meal.
Ooh.
So that's going to be the answer I'm going with, because if you're selective with the meal, and let's say you had a piece of salmon and a half a baked potato and some vegetables, that's going to be better than going grabbing a cheeseburger and fries, because your body's going to metabolize those calories a lot differently.
Especially
and utilize those calories a lot differently.
Okay.
So that being said, that's the answer I'm going with, because at the end of the day, I'd rather see you eat something than nothing, because then your body's going to slow down and store, and then it defeats the purpose of what we're trying to do.
Exactly. So you know you're messing up the whole thing.
It's
number
a consistency.
Four. Number four, how often should you weigh yourself? Because I'm going to tell you, I could be obsessed, and I know we're getting ready to start our training stuff, but how often should a person weigh themselves?
I think if you're trying to lose weight, every 4 days is adequate. If you're trying to gain weight, every 2 days.
Okay.
Now, most women are always trying to lose, okay? And I don't mean that in a derogatory way.
Oh, not at all.
But I think every 4 days, it gives the body time to metabolize food.
Okay.
If you're taking supplements, it gives those supplements time to work, because it's usually a 48-hour issue. So that being said, 4 days for women, 2 days for men, because most men are usually trying to gain weight, put on muscle. So it's a good gauge, because again, calorically, if you're trying to gain weight, mm-hmm. the body takes that much time to metabolize those calories. So men would see a difference in the scale going up in 2 days. Mm. Women would see the scale going down in 4 days.
Okay. And the last question, D, why is it harder to lose weight each time you gain it back?
It's a metabolism issue. The body metabolizes calories very differently every time uh-huh. you lose or drop.
Yeah.
It's a consistency with eating issue. The whole eating every 3 hours is key. It really, truly is.
A small good meal.
Small portions, right. 4 to 6 ounces of mm-hmm. protein, 3 to 5 ounces of carbohydrates, depending if you're trying to lose or gain weight, and a nice small empty calorie salad, vegetables, every 3 hours. No excuses. Set the damn alarm on the phone. You're damn looking it. At it anyway.
Yes.
Set it for every 3 hours and eat.
That's it.
Because the thing is, I'd rather see one of my clients, and this is way off the chart here, but I'm going to say this, and people can relate. I'd rather see you stop and get a hot dog. Mm. Okay, then not eat lunch at all.
Right.
Because it's that important that the body needs to digest calories.
See, people tend to think that if they skip a meal, it works and it helps them lose weight.
It defeats the purpose. It makes it worse because the body stores those calories because let's be real.
Yeah.
Okay, it's just like the car. Mm-hmm. When the car you drive says, hey, reserve fuel. We're low and low.
Yeah.
You just don't keep driving. You stop and get fuel. It's just exactly. like the body.
You have
the body gets to the point where it says, yo, man, we got to eat. Okay, we're running low on reserves here.
Yeah.
So people think because they don't eat, they're losing those calories, which equates to the scale being low.
Right.
But it's the opposite. Mm, what happens is if you don't eat consistently, yeah. the body starts to say to itself, hey guys, we don't know when Tasha's going to eat again.
Yeah.
Or we don't know when Big Dave's going to eat again.
Yeah.
So we're going to store these calories because we're not sure when she's going to eat or when he's going to
wow.
eat. So we need to make sure we have calories to function uh-huh. on a daily basis and keep blood sugar up so we don't pass out and faint during yeah. work and be able to function with organs.
Or get hangry.
Exactly. Hangry is the biggest thing. And so the more consistent you eat, the more it's better for digestive issues, the more it's better for organ issues, and all of it combines into metabolizing the calories so you're either gaining or losing weight and hitting the goal that you want.
And then you can reach your goal. So stop skipping meals.
Don't miss a meal.
Stop skipping meals. What are we going to be talking about next week? You got to find out. You can log on to KS1075.com. Listen, send in all your questions and everything else you need. Any last words, Big D?
We're out. I appreciate it. Thank you. Send it in. You'll see us on Instagram soon.
Stay Late. Focused.
Follow Big Dave's Power Half Hour on social media at Big Dave's Power Half Hour. Join us next week for another episode dedicated to getting you healthier mentally, physically, and emotionally. It's Big Dave's Power Half Hour, hosted by Tasha McKia.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.